Okay, let me introduce myself. I'm Zeev Wagner, and the talk is about a surprising magnetic phenomena in very thin organic layers. And I'll start with a. Yes. I'll start with a little introduction on the biological side, on the biological side of it, and I promise not to touch the biological side until the conclusions, back at the conclusion. Then I'll talk about a phenomenon which surprisingly was not known. It's a very simple phenomenon which is connected with very thin layers of molecules which possess dipoles. From there, I'll show you data which shows thin films magnetization. And this will be shown first as a reaction of a magnet to such thin films, and then through transmission of polarized electrons through these thin films, which shows the known giant magnetoresistance effect as expected from magnetic films. Then I'll talk about an empirical model which fits all the data, and then conclusion. So, first of all, something about the biology. There are known phenomena in which biological membranes are affected by magnetic field, and especially retina membranes are affected by magnetic fields. The effect is that in liquid, these membranes orient themselves perpendicular to the magnetic field. The orientation shows that the susceptibility is an anisotropic susceptibility of the membranes, and the fields are very, very low in which these kind of membranes align themselves, and it's not like in liquid crystals where you need large fields in order to orient liquid crystals.
Are you saying that you can destroy the vision by applying magnetic field?
Probably, yes. There are all sorts of other biological effects with magnets, which I'm not going to talk about because they are very controversial, and you probably many of them heard about it, and it's not clear to me that this is connected or not. But the effect of membranes and they are affected by magnetic field, I'd like to make a connection to that. So that's the end of biological part up to the conclusions. And now I'm going to talk about molecules which possess dipoles and are self-assembled on either gold or water or another dielectric or another metal, and effects which are connected to this. I'd like to mention also the people who participated. Itai Carmeli is a PhD student who did most of the experimental work. Vera Sakalova joined the group about half a year ago, something like this. Rona Aman here is the head of the group, of the experimental group. And I got excited about 2 years ago. I participated in many, many other experiments with Rona Aman, and I got excited about this 2 years ago and joined the group. So what what makes molecule different when they are attached to a surface? Electric dipole, right. And just to make an example, you take just a simple dipole and you look at the electric field of this dipole, and except for the units, there are from each charge, there are 4 pi times some unit line of force coming from each charge and ending up on the other charge. And they spread all over, as we know. But when you attach them near each other, this phenomenon is different. The electric field is very different. Maybe I should leave this here just for comparison. The dipoles now are parallel to each other, and it's well known in electrostatics that when such dipoles are parallel to each other, there is a dipole layer, and all the field is restricted to be inside. Therefore, from each dipole, the 4 pi lines which come from each charge are completely directed in one direction, except for the source itself. And therefore, you get outside no field, and inside a very large field, which contains all the lines of force which you have, a single dipole has. And as a result, you have a much larger electric field on the neighboring molecules. That makes very big effects, as I'll show you later. First of all, let's discuss the simple effects which should be coming from that. So we're talking about closed-packed organized layer of molecules with dipole. And it doesn't matter how you organize them. If you do this by self-assembly or by a Langmuir-Blodgett method, once you put the dipole together near each other, some energy has to go away because there is a huge repulsion between the dipoles. The electric field is very huge. And this situation is very special. If you calculate, given a dipole, you calculate what kind of a voltage you get on that or what kind of a field, you get huge field, way above the fields which the layer can sustain. Therefore, what happens is that you have an electrical breakdown of the dipoles, and the dipoles reduce a lot, diminish almost to a very small amount. And we'll talk about this amount in a second. So electrostatically, when you have a layer with a density d, then you have this is a two-dimensional structure. Then you have a potential jump of 4 pi times d, where d is just the electric moment divided by the area of which each molecule is put in. The density of the dipole is just the dipole divided by the area of each molecule. And if you just do the electrostatics of that, then you get that it's way above the breakdown voltage, which you can understand that by looking at what you have is two charges, and they are very close to each other, and inside the material there are states there. And once you get to the lower state, once the voltage goes above the lower state, you have already tunneling through that through that through this layer. Therefore, the regular tunneling, universal tunneling, would diminish the voltage until the lowest state. And as a result, from known other materials, we find out that the electric field cannot be above 60 millivolts over an angstrom. That's correct for silicon oxide and for some other dielectric materials. And that restricts the dipole on each molecule. It's a very big effect, because if you calculate from that what kind of a dipole you might get for each molecule, now the dipole moment is not more than 0.6 times 10 to the minus 3 times the volume in angstrom to the third, and that's a very low number for a dipole. A debye is about two electronic charges, which are separated by about 1/5 of an angstrom. So that's this dipole is extremely low dipole. An example is if you take a molecule which its volume is 400 angstrom to the third, which is a typical molecule in our experiments, then you get that the dipole moment the dipole moment is not larger than 0.6 of a debye. I'll show you molecules which started with 50 debye, and they had to go by a factor of 100 down in the size of their dipole moment. So there must be a huge change in the electronic states of this molecule between a vacuum molecule to a molecule which is attached to a surface. And that huge change is the change which I said, what are the molecules which are on the surface different from vacuum molecule? It's this change. This change must occur. If you naively, you would say that the ratio between the dipole, which was there before in the vacuum, and the effective dipole on the surface divided by the dipole in vacuum, is something correlated to a dielectric constant, if you want, in a naive electrostatic fashion. And therefore, you could plot now the dielectric constant as a function of the dipole moment in a layer which and then you get this graph, which all what it says that when the dipole moment goes above a point 0.6 of an angstrom then the field is already constant. And therefore, the dipole moment goes, dielectric constant goes linearly from there, and can go very high for molecules which has, for example, 50 debye. This is just a parameterization of the same numbers which I told you before. Okay, so we can conclude some results from that, which the moment you made a close-pack layer of dipoles, then there must be a huge rearrangement of charges, which you can express either by mixing of states, or maybe by some transfer of charge between the substrate, which could be the dielectric or metal, and the molecule. The molecules, from point of view of electronic structure, are very, very different now. Now, we found out by experimentation that the molecular structure itself, where the nuclei are sitting, do not change much. And this you measure by the vibration vibration spectra. You can measure the structure of the molecule itself, and you find out that the structure do not change much, and I'll show you examples of such thing. As a result of each one of the molecules coming down and changing dramatically its dipole, there must be a current going through this molecule, a spike of a current when the absorption occurs, which discharges this dipole. So you can look at it as the adsorption mechanism is each one of these molecules is coming down there, something happened, and a charge goes into the metal or dielectric, which it sits on. And the question is, what are the manifestation of such an effect? First of all, it's not clever to think that you can make a huge dipole layer by just taking molecules with large dipoles and just put them near each other and get some highly nonlinear effects. Although nonlinear effects will occur there because the maximum electric field is near a breakdown. And when you are near a breakdown, nonlinearities occur a lot. So this is one of the effects which you would see. Another effect, which is very important, usually molecules are built such that the electrons are paired together. So a lot of pairing occur in molecules in vacuum. Once you do that, once you put them near each other, there's a lot of unpairing which occurs, because otherwise you cannot, you have a huge amount of states above which you can mix, which will be unpaired. So if you have a lot of unpairing, I'm going to use this simple argumentation from electrostatic later on, where I'll show you, or I'll try to put show you the model which we use. Usually molecules, for example, the simplest picture is when you have a dipole like this. You call the molecule has a hydrophobic side and a hydrophilic side. And usually, for example, on water, they would stand on the hydrophilic side and the hydrophobic part would come out. And this is the dipole property of that. Yes. And on gold, a very similar thing would happen to that. That's very important. Again, I'm not going to talk too much about the biology, but when you have the membranes are bilayers, which are built out of the hydrophilic part is outside, the hydrophobic part is inside. So you have two layers with dipoles this way, all right? So whatever I'll show you here on a monolayer is related through that to biological systems. Now I come to the next subject. I'll show you data now, finally. And it depends on the radius of the sphere, of course. You have a dimension, let's say we are talking about 20 angstrom molecules, the length of 20 angstrom. If the radius of the sphere will be much larger than the 20 angstrom, nothing will change. And if you put them on a much smaller radii, surely yes, I'm sure yes. Right? It will be like a condenser with a... Okay? Okay, so the experimental part is again the same group. And we are going to show you a magnetization of chiral monolayers of polypeptides as a possible source for magnetism in biological membranes. We're going to talk almost only on molecules which are polyalanine. Alanine is a amino acid, a very simple amino acid, I think the second in a row, or in the second of the row of complexity of amino acids. Each one of these amino acids is left-handed or right-handed, and you can make spirals out of this, which are called helix. So we're going to use helices like this at a length of about 20 angstrom with 22 amino acids in this helices. And you could use either left-handed, the left-handed will be the L part, and right-handed will be a D. And you can either attach them to the positive part or the negative part on the gold surface, and on the gold surface here, by attaching a sulfur group either to one side or the other side. Let's say the negative, I'll call it always the carbon side, and the positive, the nitrogen side. You can combine this sulfur to either this side or this side and decide if you want to flip them back and forth. So these are the molecules which I'm going to talk about. Usually they don't stand erected that well, and I'll show you data about this, about how to measure this, I don't know how to call the measure of the erectivity or what, or the tilt angle of those molecules. But this is the kind of layers we're using. It's when I talk about two-dimensionality of this, the size of this is by far larger than anything you see here. It's centimeter-like sizes, and the length here is about 20 angstrom. So the first thing I'll show you is that once you combine this layer, when you make this layer on a gold surface, it's worthwhile checking if their chirality is the same as you produced. For example, you use a left-handed molecules, you want to find out they are left-handed. And if you use a right-handed, you want to find if they are right-handed. And this just shows that indeed the structure of the molecules did not change much. There are other tests which I'm not going to talk about, which all of them confirm that indeed the structure of the molecules do not change much. Especially I'd like to talk about one measurement, which is a measure of the tilt angle of these molecules. How do you measure tilt angle of these molecules? You measure this by infrared spectra, and I especially would like to show you two lines. One of them is parallel to the helix axis, and the other one is perpendicular to the helix axis. And therefore, when they are perpendicular exactly, one of them is parallel to the gold layer, and you cannot see this transition. While the line which is perpendicular to the gold layer, you see. For example, this one, on the average, you would say that here is something which is quite well aligned, because this line, which should disappear if they are erected, shows just a small amount of intensity. Now, they are all normalized for simplicity to this line. So the size here tells you how much they are erected. Now, if you look carefully here, this is done with 900 Gauss, and if this is the layer, you put a little ferrite below that, so the magnetic field is perpendicular to the layer. And lo and behold, what you find out, that for L layers, then a certain magnetic field, the south pole, is make them stand more. And if you take the other side, the north pole, then they make them lie. So there is a sort of a change in angle by flipping the magnetic field, the direction of the magnetic field. And this is for an L layer. If you take a D layer, the opposite occurs. That means the same field which made here the molecules tilt more, make them straight for the D layer. Okay, and to exaggerate this, you put a much higher magnetic field by a factor of about 5. And what you see is, again, this is normalized here. You see that the tilt angle is showing you exactly the same effect as here, but much larger. These are now, from the beginning, they were much more like something like 45 degrees on the average angle of those helices. And some of them just go straight, and these are these, the red ones. Some of them go down, lie down more, and these are the blue ones. And for the other helicity, you get the opposite. That means you just put a magnetic field nearby, and they just go back and forth depending on the direction of the magnetic field. And if it's L or D, they do the opposite. And if you think about what is the magnetization of iron? It's domains which are changing their direction depending on the outside, the external field. So this is a very similar phenomena. Let's call it magnetism. That's what I call magnetism. In order to see that indeed this is a magnetism, in reality, the experiment which I'm going to show you next was the first one, and then we did this experiment. But I think now it's much simpler to represent it in the following way. You see there is a magnetism. Now if you look at transmission of electrons, and if there's a magnetic layer there, you should see the giant magnetoresistance. And indeed we see that, and let me show you that. Skip that. So how do you do this transmission of electrons through these thin layers? That's, if you remember, Ron Naaman's talk about the band structure of such layers. This is the experiment which measures transmission of electrons. You shine a laser on the organic thin film, and you get from the metal, mainly from the metal, electrons. Now if these photons are polarized, circularly polarized, then you get a polarization also of the electrons, not more than 15%, but that's good enough in order to observe experimentally. So 15%, when you have a laser which is circularized this in a certain way, you get electrons which are circularly polarized. 15% of them are circularly polarized in the same direction, the same helicity. And then we measure the transmission of these electrons through the layer by just measuring the spectra as a function of the magnetic field. So let me show you results like this. So first of all, let's concentrate on two molecules. This one, two layers. This one and this one, both of them are attached through the carbon to the layer, so they are pointing from minus to plus. And they all show that indeed the work function is reduced, and you have a higher energy electrons. But the main effect, which I'd like you to concentrate on, that you do this with magnetic field either up or down here, it says so. Huh? You put here polarized photons, and you get polarized electrons, and the transmission of the red ones are the negative helicity electrons, those with direction of motion and the spin are opposite to each other, and you get that for the D, the right-handed, the red ones are transmitted more, and for the left-handed are transmitted less, and the effect is about 10%. It's 10% out of 15% polarization, so that is quite a huge effect. And now, something new happened, that Itai, the student, insisted upon flipping the direction of the dipole rather than being coupled to the carbon side of the helix. You couple it now to the nitrogen side of the helix, and the effect changes by 180 degrees. That means that now we can compare these two. They are both of them right-handed. One of them is coupled to the carbon side. One of them is coupled to the nitrogen side. And you see that the positive helicity, for example, is reduced here and increased here. In the middle is something with no polarization. So just by changing the direction of the dipole, you get a change in the transmission of the electrons. And that's surprised us quite a while. And it's important for any model to explain also this effect. That means you have a helix which is right-handed, and you flip it, surely it stays right-handed also. But the fact that the dipole has changed direction makes a difference in the transmission of electrons. That means the magnetization changed by that. And I'd like to explain it. So these are the summary of the results from electron transmission. Polarized electrons are selectively going through this layer. 70% of polarized electrons, let's say, with positive helicity, pass through, while the others are probably reflected back. And the transmission is not only helicity dependent. Handed dependent, or if it's left or right, but also depends on the direction of the dipole moment of these molecules. And there are other effects which I'm not going to talk about now. And the question, how can we understand, can we add any physical picture to that phenomenon, which is both the handedness and the direction of the dipole? So I'd like to present you an empirical model. Already we know that when the molecules are going through this transition to be attached to this gold surface, they have to put a current through, a spike of a current through the through each one of those. And they are a chiral molecule. So the first thing which occurs to you is that there are chiral molecules, and the current going a certain direction, it must produce a magnetic field. If ever this thing is going to be a magnetic later, these magnetic fields affect the direction of the spins which are there. The rest of them are already done like this, and therefore you need also an exchange between those, which this I don't explain, and this I just showed you that it is magnetic, but the directions are all governed by two things. One of them is the helicity of this, and the direction of the current through this helicity. With the same With the same coil, you can put the current either from below or from above, depending on the dipole moment which you started with. And therefore, you get different magnetization depending on the direction of the dipole. So the effects which we see are completely, their signs are completely in according to this simple model. And a magnetization was induced, as we know, and it's probably what is called the indirect exchange type, which are the molecules are quite far away from each other, and there's probably no direct exchange between the spins of each one of these molecules, but through the gold layer, there's probably an indirect exchange which produces this magnetism. Another effect, which is we think is quite new, and this is all right. So by attachment to the surface, the magnetization was induced. This magnetization is not a spontaneous symmetry breaking of the in the direction of the spins, but it's a predetermined symmetry breaking because it depends on the direction of the dipole and on the handedness of the molecule. What's that?
In the end direction is affected by the current.
That's correct. So current and the elasticity of the.
Oh, but the elasticity is fixed.
Yes, and the current is also fixed by the dipole. Because each dipole, when you attach it to the metal, has to lose its most of its dipole. Therefore, the current is predetermined, right?
It's such current. It's a current by attaching the molecule.
Right.
It's not that you generate
a No. It's a spike of a current which induces at that moment a magnetization, which is coupled later through an indirect exchange, probably, to sustain the magnetization. Now, I don't know. Yes.
In a metal, for example.
Yes.
Do we have it also in a molecular crystal?
Not only through the metal. Each one of them is attached to a metal, and you can believe that once they scatter through this. This current goes through this metal, scattered there from a heavy, probably something, and there may be a spin orbit there, which coupled then to the next one. I don't know the mechanism, I just hand wave. All right, now, the symmetry of the problem. Here it is, order of magnitude, very roughly, very, very roughly. You just use symmetry to get the following. That for chiral molecules, each molecule has a quantum number which is its which says it's left or it's right. That's one quantum number, which we call C. So C has two numbers, plus minus one, either left or right. Now, clearly, there is an electric field there near the breakdown field, but the electric field does not couple to the spin, right? Because the mu times E is not invariant under parity transformation. However, if we define another operator, which is, I called it specially B, but which is C times E, that couples very nicely to a spin. And now, since C gets all in the number plus minus one, and since E, we know that from the breakdown field, we can easily calculate, roughly at least, the amount of field which you expect from such a thing. And if you do this, you get something like 20,000 Gauss, which is larger than most ferrites which we know. And therefore, this is a probably a hand-waving argument why there should be a huge magnetization when you have both E and the chirality there. Okay, I'd like to conclude. What we see here is the 2D, two-dimensional organization of molecules with dipole can induce dramatic changes of the electronic properties. Some of these dramatic changes is just the magnetization. And these changes are due to cooperative effects. You cannot even imagine if they're not talking to each other and giving you such effects. Magnetic effects are cooperative. These thin layers have, of course, new electromagnetic properties. And some of these I already mentioned, technological use of it, which are highly nonlinear for optics. And now coming back to the biological systems, now we have a single monolayer is magnetic. And now if you have on top of each other two layers, then the magnetic field is almost cancelled, except that you have a quadrupole out of that. Therefore, highly non-isotropic medium, a susceptibility medium. Therefore, that might explain the effect which we talked about reorientation of membranes in magnetic fields, and maybe connected to other strange behavior of membranes in magnetic fields, which most of them are not even physicists do not want to mention them because they are so weird. Thank you.